All right, starting in verse 25, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So here we have a parable of Jesus's. And there are certain people who believe that this story actually had happened. And this is a possibility. It very could have easily happened. There was many robbers in this area. And this story could actually be a true story, not just a parable. But as we look, we've got a lawyer trying to trick Jesus. He's trying to get him trapped. And he asked Jesus, Who's my neighbor? He was thinking, well, Jesus would say, the guy next door. Well, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus tells him this story. This man goes from Jerusalem to Jericho, but along the way, he's attacked by robbers. They steal everything from him, even his clothes. They take his boots, his clothes, everything, his purse. But then, as he was laying there, half dead, there was a priest. And instead of bending down and helping this poor man that was in the middle of the road, half dead, he decided he'd walk way over here on the other side of the road. He didn't want to be bothered. My in-laws, as Kathy's mentioned, they lived in Blind River, Ontario. And they had their neighbor one time was out in the middle of the street. He was drunk and probably high as well. And he was beating on his girlfriend. He went crazy on her and just started beating her in the middle of the road. And I said to her parents, well, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you call the cops or why didn't you stop him? And their answer was, I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to get involved. How many of us go through day by day not wanting to get involved? We see someone on the side of the street who needs help, or we see someone on the side of the road with a flat tire, and we just don't want to get involved. Or we'll see a crime happening, and we don't want to be bothered with the police reports or anything else. We don't want to be bothered, so we just walk on by past the problem. And then the second person was a Levite. And he at least looked at the guy. He kind of looked at him, maybe looked at him again to see how badly he was hurt, see if he knew him. And then he as well goes on the other side of the street. When we were in Moncton, New Brunswick, whenever we saw a fire truck going by at any fires, we'd always see 10 or 15 cars following the fire truck. They wanted to watch. No one wanted to get involved, but they just wanted to watch and see the action. Or if someone had crashed on the side of the road, there was always a big crowd of spectators. Everybody wanted to see what had happened, but nobody wanted to help the person. But then we have a third man here. That certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, the Samaritans were kind of a strange lot. They were like half-breeds. They were part Jewish and part Assyrian, and they had other mixtures of people who had come into the land. And the Jews despised them. The Jews did not like them at all because they were considered unclean. But this Samaritan man, who no one liked, decides to go and help this poor man on the side of the road. He was bleeding all over the road and he was half dead. But not only does he have compassion on him, but verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come back, I will repay thee. So he not only has compassion, stops on the side of the road, but he also binds up his wounds, puts medicine on them, and then he takes them to an inn, basically like a hotel. And he told the innkeeper, look after him, and if it's any more than this money I'm giving you, then when I come back again through here, I'll repay you whatever I owe you. When our children were younger, we lived in a small town called Manitou, Manitoba. And we saw this guy walking down the street. He was a native guy, and he'd just come out of the store. And he was kind of stumbling around, and he was stumbling, and all of a sudden he kind of half stumbles, half falls onto the curb. And people were just going by him. Every once in a while one of them would laugh, and they would just make fun of him for falling down, for stumbling down the street, for falling down. And other people would go way away, far away from him, as far as they could, so they wouldn't have to deal with him, they wouldn't have to look at him. I'd been on the other side of the street watching this happen, so when there was finally a break in the traffic, I went over and helped him. This man had been a native man, he was a Cree man from Manitoba, and he wasn't drunk, he wasn't high, he was sick. And I helped him up, and I helped him down the street, and he was on his way with the bus, and he was going to admit himself into the hospital in Winnipeg. He didn't want to go in the hospital there because he was too far away from friends and family. But he was an ill man. He hadn't been drunk or high or anything else. Everyone just assumed, though, because he's a native guy, and he's walking down the street, stumbling a little bit, then he falls down. They figured he must be drunk or high. So I helped him onto the bus anyway, and he was on his way. And I just prayed for him that he would make it there safely, that someone would help him at the bus station. He had family that was going to meet him. But as we go about our busy lives, which one of these three examples of men are we? Are we the priest that doesn't even look at the problem? He just kind of ignores it and goes way over here away? Or are we the Levite, who just wants to stand and stare and watch all the action as it unfolds, and then stays away from it too because he doesn't want to get involved? Or are we like the Samaritan man, when we see someone who's hurting or in pain, do we have compassion on them, and do we want to help them? Which one of these three is a neighbor? Which one of these three would fulfill the law to love thy neighbor as thyself? Which one of these three would you rather be? I know for myself, I'd rather be the Samaritan. I might not be rich like the priest, and I might not be as famous as the Levites, but I would want to help the person just because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ would do for us. And that's what He has done for us. He paid the ultimate price for us and for our sins to die on the cross for us. And I just praise the Lord every day that He took me out of the sin that I was in. I come from a religious home. My parents went to church once in a while. We went everywhere from like a United Church to a Charismatic Church. Never got any real feeding. And my mom took a lot of child psychology courses, so she didn't believe in spanking at all. But whenever she was mad, she didn't mind laying a beating on me. You figure that one out. As I got older, when I was 14, I was already 5'10". And I had two older brothers. And they figured they'd do me a favor, so they snuck me into the bar when I was 14. So before I was even the age of 18, I was already an alcoholic. When I turned 18, I finally decided to get my life right with the Lord again. I rededicated my life to the Lord. But as I was an alcoholic, I would get into street fights all the time. I even got into one or two knife fights. And the Lord saved me out of this. He paid the price for my sin. I don't have that payment anymore that I have to pay. Christ paid it all for me. All I had to do was accept that gift. It's just like at Christmas when somebody hands you a gift. If you don't accept that gift, then that person can't really make you take it. They can try, but Jesus doesn't work like that. He offers you the gift, but you have to accept it. And part of being a good neighbor and loving thy neighbor as thyself and having compassion on your neighbor is sharing God's word with them. If you know anybody who's not saved, then they are worse than wounded and bleeding on the side of the street. They're doomed to eternity in hell. And if we're not willing to witness to our friends and our neighbors and our family, then we're dooming them to that hell. But if we're willing to just hand them a tract, it doesn't take any more than that. You hand them a tract, you pray about it, and the Lord does the work in their hearts. You're just a vessel. You deliver the tract, or you talk to them, give them your witness, your testimony, and it's the Lord that does the rest. But if you want to be a good neighbor and to love others as yourself, then you need to, as well, be willing to hand out tracts or to witness to other people. Spread the gospel around so that other people aren't going to spend eternity in hell. Excuse me. Let's just think on these things as I close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this evening, Lord. Lord, we thank You for dying on the cross for us, Lord, for our sins, for paying the price. Lord, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough works. We can't buy our own way to heaven, Lord. We can't save ourselves. We need You for that, Lord. You are the only way. And Lord, we just pray that You would give us the strength and the courage to be as this Samaritan man, to have compassion on our friends and our family, our neighbors, Lord, and to witness to them and to spread Your word to them, Lord, so that they too can receive Your free gift of salvation. And Lord, we just thank You for this church, Lord. We just thank You so much that we have a place where we have the freedom to worship, Lord. We can come here and we can read from Your word and we can pray to You, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You so much for that. And we just pray that this church would continue to be a lighthouse in this community, that they would stand firm on Your word, that they would continue to shine in the darkness of this world. I just pray, Lord, in Your holy and precious name, amen.